We read the Word of God from 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his glory. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Thus far the reading of the Holy and Divine Scripture we consider as our text on the occasion of applicatory tonight, verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the prophecy of 2 Peter is full of astounding, even startling statements. One of those in the context, for instance, is that we have been made partakers of the divine nature. What glory and astounding honor that God has bestowed upon his people through Jesus Christ and by the promise that he actually makes us partakers of that divine nature. Surely we have been quickened with Christ Jesus and given grace for grace. The same thing, the same startling character applies to the text that we consider tonight, where the apostle says, make your calling and your election sure. Is there not anything more certain than the election of God. That God, by an eternal and immutable decree, has chosen unto salvation a people in Christ. And that that eternal and immutable decree is the fountain of every saving good, so that from that decree flows regeneration and faith and righteousness and holiness and eternal life itself. Is there anything more sure than that? What's this make your calling and election sure? And is there anything more sure than the voice of God? The voice of God that created the world, the voice of God that makes the cedars of Lebanon shake, the voice of God that is heard in the preaching of the gospel, the voice of God that effectually addresses every single elect child of God, regardless of their station and calling or state of being at the moment, addresses them and calls or summons them out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Is there anything more certain than that? Yet he says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And I say, the text is not implying that there is an uncertainty about election and the calling. The text is not even implying that there is a uncertainty about your election or your calling. The text, rather, is about assurance. It is about the assurance of God's calling of you, and therefore of your assurance of God's election of you. The text, you understand, is not talking about your assurance of two unrelated things, make your calling sure and make your election sure, but the text is teaching fundamentally about the assurance of election. The assurance of the election, of your election and my election, is the unshakable ground of all assurance, whatever form that may take. It comes finally back to assurance of election. And the text is teaching that you have that assurance of election by having the assurance of your calling. And the text tells us, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. If I can put the text in the simplest of terms, the text is about the principle out of which you live your life. The text is about the vital truth that is most important for your life, and out of which the entire life of the child of God proceeds. If your calling and your election, and we might say this, if your and my election is the most important thing in your life, that is a life-changing principle that leads to a certain way of life, and you will give diligence. You will give diligence to make your calling and election sure, because that there's nothing more important to you than election. And there are many things, and I say this, text occurs over against this reality. You have to remember, the text says, wherefore the rather, brethren, there's another reality that exists, that someone does not make their calling and election sure. They give no diligence for it. And that reality is that there are many things about which men and you and me can be very solicitous. But being very solicitous about those things, that life is barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord. Men are very solicitous about their image. That's the principle out of which they live their life. Men are very solicitous about their financial estate. They assiduously attend to their finances. That is the principle out of which they live their life. Men are solicitous about their home and their possessions and their job, their comfortable existence, their business, their savings account, some project that they have going on, and they pay all their attention to that. You will find that, you understand, the text isn't merely about those who give diligence and those who don't give diligence. Man's always giving diligent attention to something. The question is, what is he giving all his diligent attention to? And the apostle says, rather, brethren, rather than that life of barrenness and unfruitfulness in the knowledge of the Lord, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And I say that to you and me, not only over against the negative, that we don't give our diligence to that which makes us barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord. But I say that because the assurance of your election is the bedrock of your and my life. It is the absolute, unshakable bedrock. It gives us patience in every tribulation. It gives us steadfastness over against every adversity. It frees our hearts from all fear. It properly orients our life toward heaven and the things that are eternal. It moves the child of God to a life of holy gratitude. The assurance of our election is a life-changing, attitude-changing assurance. And so the apostle exhorts us tonight, give diligence to that, to make your calling and election sure. And that's the theme of these verses, assurance through diligence. Let us notice, first of all, the assurance of election. Let us notice, secondly, the assurance of our calling. And finally, giving diligence to that. The text is about election, but the text is not about the definition of election as such. I can give a definition of election, that's very easy. Election is the sovereign, eternal, immutable choice of God in Jesus Christ, appointing certain persons to salvation in the way of salvation. Election is God's choice. Election is God's choice of you and me in eternity. Election is God's choice of us sovereignly. It had nothing to do with anything in us, either our goodness or our badness. Election is an immutable choice. Election cannot change. Election cannot change any more than God can change. So that as God is the same in the instant and constant fullness of His divine being, from eternity to eternity, so election is the same. And election is a discriminating choice. You may never forget that either. Election is a choice of some and not others. Election is the choice and appointment of some to salvation along with the appointment of others to damnation. And that too according to God's sovereign choice. And the text rather is about the assurance of your and my election. And when the apostle says, make your calling and your election sure, the apostle is not saying this either. You must be sure of the truth of election. I can assure you tonight, election is true. I say that over against any weakening of the doctrine of election, every assault leveled against the doctrine of election. Election is true. Election is as true as God Himself. And it's true. It's true that God chose certain people and He wrote them in the Lamb's Book of Life and not others. It's true that God loved certain people from before the foundation of the world and He did not love others. It's true that God chose out His sheep from before the foundation of the world and separated them from the goats. That's true. Election is true. God has chosen some to everlasting life and God has reprobated others to eternal damnation. And that election, it is true, that election is the foundation and fountain of every saving good. Out of that election flows all our salvation. The election obtains for us all the promises of God. The election is the cause why we receive from God all the blessings of salvation. That it is given to us all things necessary for life and godliness. Election is the cause of that. And it's true that with regard to that election, that is an absolutely sovereign choice by God. It had nothing to do with those whom God chose or those whom God reprobated. Before the children were born or had done any good or evil, God said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. But the apostle isn't saying to you and me tonight, you must be sure of the truth of election. It's true. You must ever guard in your heart and in your mind the truth of election. And right along with it, the truth of reprobation. You must ever guard against any encroachment on that truth in your pulpit and in your school and in your homes. You must ever hold that truth as most precious and dear, as the very heart of the gospel. And without which there is no gospel. That the whole gospel stands or falls with the truth of election. That the foundation of God standeth assured. Having this seal, the Lord knows them that are His. But the apostle goes even deeper. The election, the truth of election, cannot be dear to you in a merely general or abstract way. As a mere truth. As a doctrine. But the apostle is saying, make your election sure. And when he says, make your election sure, he is talking about your own personal assurance and personal conviction that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That God chose you from before the foundation of the world. That God loved you before the foundation of the world. And that love of God is the sole motivating power behind God's choice of you. To make your calling and election sure is to know the unchangeable, immutable, sovereign will and purpose of God concerning you and your salvation. that we belong to God, body and soul, in life and in death, from all eternity. To make your calling and election sure is to have the assurance that we certainly and eternally are God's. It's the certain and sure knowledge that we were appointed to salvation before the foundation of the world, that we were ever the object of God's love, that we were never the object of God's hatred. And that because we were the object of God's love, we are the recipients from all eternity of His grace. It's to have the firm conviction now that we have the victory because of election over sin, death, hell, and the grave. It's to know, because we know our election, that nothing can separate us from God's love. It's to know and be certain of that. And that knowledge, that conviction, is a knowledge and conviction, first of all, that God did not set His love on you because of anything in you, any attractiveness in you, or any beauty that you may have possessed, but that it arose out of the unfathomable depths of the heart of God. That knowledge and assurance of God's love and our election is a knowledge and assurance that that can never change. That that decree concerning you cannot be altered or diminished. It's to have the assurance that God gave you to His Son from all eternity to be responsible for you, to make sure that you get to heavenly glory. It's the knowledge and assurance that because He elected you, everything He gives you in your life, everything, good, bad, terrifying, ugly, delightful, or joyful, everything, must serve your salvation. So that God was sovereign over those things, according to His sovereign choice, to cause them to serve you. And it's the knowledge, therefore, that because you are God's and because that decree cannot change and because all things that befall you must serve you, that not height or depth or nakedness or sword or famine or persecution or peril or things present or things to come, nothing can separate you from that love. There is no other knowledge that is more blessed than that. That will keep the heart and the mind of the child of God in the most terrible and even terrifying situations. His world can fall down around him. The mountains can be cast into the midst of the sea. And all the earth can be shaking. And all the foundations can be shaking. He can face an impossible, from a human point of view, an impossible situation in his life and be at perfect peace. With no fear. Because he knows God is his God. And he is God's child. And God loves him. Because God elected him. Your election and my election must be everything to us. It must be above all things most precious. Because to have that assurance of election is to have an absolute, certain, unshakable confidence in God as my God. And you must give diligence to make that election sure. He means give diligence to have that knowledge and to possess that confidence and to know that God is your God. And the question is, how do you and I come into the possession of that most precious knowledge? Do you obtain it by your diligence? And I say, no. No, I have to say that before I ever talk about what it means to be diligent, to get, make your calling and election sure. I'm going to say this right off the bat. Your diligence does not obtain it. The title of the sermon tonight is not obtaining the assurance of your election by your diligence. The title of the sermon tonight is assurance through diligence. You don't obtain it. You don't attain to it. There isn't something that you have to do. The assurance of your election can never rest on such an unshaky foundation. Will you climb up into heaven? Is that how we know we ascend up into heaven? And we appear in heaven and we demand to peer into the Lamb's Book of Life and have the Lamb run his finger down the page of the Lamb's Book of Life and to point to our name written there in the Lamb's Book of Life and say, yes, now I know that I have been elected of God. And if we can't do that, let me ask this, if we can't ascend up into heaven and have the Lamb open the Book of Life for us and run his finger down to point to our name, are we then doomed to stumble along in darkness all of our life long so that we can never attain to this precious knowledge of our election? Or for the certainty of your election, do we have to wallow in uncertainty for a certain period of time? So that it's pious to doubt whether we are elect, let's say, for 50 or 60 years of our life, and only after we've wallowed in the uncertainty will God then bestow upon us a special revelation to tell us that we're elect? Or do we have to work for it by crying and by tears and by prayers, pleading with God to show us our election? How do we have this supremely blessed knowledge? This life-changing, life-stabilizing knowledge of our election. Does God send down an angel to whisper in our ear, "Dear child of mine, I have elected you"? Does God give us some special experience where on the basis of that special experience and revelation, we have then the assurance of our election? I say those are all impossible, all feeble. They can't bear the weight of assuring us of our election. And the assurance of your election and my election is so important. God does not leave that to any creature. God does that himself. God comes and he speaks to you. And he tells you himself that you are elect. And he does that in the calling. That's why Peter says, make your calling and your election sure. The order of God's decree, you understand, is election, calling, justification, and glorification. But the order of our experience is calling, election. It is by the calling and being assured of our calling that we have the assurance of our election. And I say that is God's own work because the calling is God's own voice. By calling here, the apostle doesn't mean the preaching of the gospel, not as such. The preaching of the gospel is included, but he doesn't mean the preaching of the gospel. He means by calling God's secret and mysterious address of the elect sinner in the depth of his being, by which call God translates that elect sinner out of darkness into God's marvelous light. When God calls his elect people, then God addresses them in the depths of their being. God, through the Spirit and by the Word, speaks unto them. They says, "Dear child of mine, dear elect child of mine, come out of darkness and come into my marvelous light." And they are translated by that powerful, sovereign, efficacious call out of darkness into God's marvelous light. God says by the calling to the dead sinner, "Arise, live," I say, "live," and the sinner lives. God says to the sinner walking in the way of sin who is elect, "Stop," and they stop. He says, "Turn around," and they turn around. He says, "Come to me," and they come to him. And God is constantly, constantly calling his people. He calls them and speaks to them when he regenerates them by his own mighty voice. And then constantly, with every sermon of the gospel, with every sermon, God calls, "Come to me, hear me, seek me, draw near to me, be justified, be sanctified, be glorified, live, turn." Constantly he calls. Constantly he addresses. Concerning every aspect of our salvation and all our life, he calls to us. And by that mighty call, he brings into existence that which he speaks. And that call, I reiterate, comes by the gospel. It comes by the preaching. That's what the preaching at its heart is. It is not the word of man. It is in truth the word of God. Every sermon where the gospel is preached, God calls. That's how he speaks to us. That's how he addresses us in the heart of our beings. That's how he saves us. That's how he changes us. That's how he moves us. That's how he draws us ever onward on our pilgrim's journey toward heaven. That's how he summons us ever higher toward heavenly glory. He calls to us in the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel is not synonymous with the call. You must understand that too. Just like it is true, it is as true as God is the living God, that God chose some and not all. So it is true that God calls some and not all. All hear the preaching of the gospel. All who come under that preaching of the gospel have their ears filled, and I will even say their minds filled. And maybe in a certain way, even it touches a heart. That gospel comes to all, and I'll even say this, that gospel cannot leave all who come under it unchanged and unmoved. Gospel is God's word. Never returns to him void. It calls, you understand, it calls. It calls to God. It calls to heaven. It calls to faith. It calls to righteousness. It calls to holiness, or it damns. Being God's word, never returns void. It draws to God, or it drives away. It brings near to God, or it sends away. It blesses with God, or it curses far from God. But always constantly, constantly in the gospel, he calls. addresses his people in the depths of their being. He opens their eyes. He enlightens their minds. And he changes their hearts. He changes their lives. He who calls us is holy. And he who calls us to holiness. With every sermon, no matter what the topic of the sermon is, with every sermon, God calls us as his dear children to himself, and then calls us to stand as his dear children antithetically in all of our life over against the ungodly world that hates him. God calls us to love him and to hate sin every sermon. He calls his people constantly to diligence. He calls his servants constantly to diligence, to add to their faith virtue, and to the virtue knowledge, and to knowledge godliness, and to godliness temperance, and to temperance brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love, the crown of all the virtues. Constantly he calls. We must understand this. When in the sermon, and this does not happen to all who may come under the sermon, when in the sermon you hear God speak to you, you hear him call you out of darkness, the darkness of your sin, the darkness of your flesh, the darkness of the temptation of the world, the darkness of the way that you would naturally walk. He calls you out of darkness into his marvelous light. When you come under the preaching, and the very voice of God changes you. I don't change you. I have nothing to do with it. I'm a mouthpiece through whom God blows his trumpet. God changes you. God turns you from some sin. God shows you some truth. God convicts you of some reality. God changes your life so that you say, I got to change this in my life. I can't live this way anymore. God moves you to diligence. So you say, I want to add to my faith knowledge, virtue, brotherly kindness and charity. When that happens to you under the preaching, you've just been called. And the only people God calls are his elect people. And so you're elect. Certainly, surely, without any doubt, when he speaks to you, the preaching of the gospel, you're elect. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He loved you from all eternity before you were born or did anything. He loved you and he saw you and your sins and all your unworthiness and your ugliness. He loved you. And he determined your salvation, that you would be ever blessed with him. So Jesus Christ, his Son, an heir of many great precious promises. Give diligence to make your calling sure. That means at least this. Hear him. Hear him. Don't turn a closed heart and a deaf ear to the voice of the living God, whose voice at one time shook the mountains. I know, if need be, If you and I keep turning hard hearts and deaf ears to Him, He can shake us from that. And if you're His child, He will shake you from it. If you come every Sunday with a bad attitude about the preaching, that's turning a hard heart and a deaf ear to the voice of the living God. And it will go badly for you, I warn you. You better give diligence to make your calling and election sure. To give diligence to make your calling and election sure means this, at least, you better give diligence that what you're hearing is the gospel. The gospel and nothing else. That's your job. Because you have to make your calling and election sure. And you can only hear the voice of Jesus Christ in the gospel. That's the only way. It doesn't come by law preaching. It doesn't come with man's wisdom. It doesn't come with man's word. It comes in the gospel and the gospel alone. And the gospel alone, God addresses His people. And changes them in the depth of their being and moves them on toward heaven. To give diligence to make your calling sure, it means to give diligence you're hearing the gospel. And to give diligence to make your calling sure means you give diligence to understand this. It's God who speaks to you. God. Not me. Who cares if it's just me? I wouldn't listen either. I need to hear God speak. And to give diligence to make your calling sure means this. When you hear the gospel, you better know it is God who's speaking to you. Understand that. Be certain of that. So that you can't dismiss that word with a wave of your hand. For it is God who speaks and calls in the gospel. So give diligence. Make this a matter of your and my serious consideration. Give it all your attention. Let it be the object of your utmost endeavors. It's hard work to listen properly to a sermon. Lazy listeners will get nothing out of a sermon. They won't get anything out of my sermons, and they won't get anything out of any sermons. Listening to sermons is hard work. That's why you get home and you're tired. That's good. Hearing God speak to you is difficult. You can only even hear Him speak to you. You can only listen to Him because His grace upholds you. Otherwise, His voice is so mighty. It's so convicting. It's so powerful, it would kill us. He must uphold us even to hear Him speak. Give diligence means make that the bedrock of your life. I'm an elect child of God. God spoke to me today, twice, as His dear child. And He called me from my sin. And He bestowed upon me in the preaching all His precious promises.
And he told me now that go forward in the week to live as his dear child. Give diligence to that. And notice, give diligence to that, or rather, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. Because in the context, he speaks about those who are barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord, those who lack charity and brotherly kindness, and they lack godliness, and they lack patience, and they lack temperance, and they lack knowledge, and they lack virtue. And I say because they lack faith, and they are barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord. Notice that. They have all kinds of knowledge. You can talk to these people, and they'll tell you about election, and they'll tell you about the calling, and they'll give you good definitions, and they'll tell you about the church. And they'll even talk about the Christian life, how you're supposed to live the Christian life. And they'll say many good things. They have the knowledge of the Lord, but they're unfruitful in it. They're barren in it. And they're barren in it, the apostle says, because they have forgotten that they were purged from their own sins. And because of that, they're blind and full of darkness. And do you understand what he's saying there? He is talking, maybe I could say it this way, he's talking about somebody who lives in the past. In the past, at one time in his life, he made a confession. That's what the apostle is talking about when he talks about he forgot that he's purged from his old sins. At one time, he made a confession. I'm purged from my sin. And that was it. That's as far as it went. Maybe something like this. He went through catechism. And he turned 18 and he made confession of faith, and that was it. That was the end. That's as far as it goes. That confession was not the beginning now of a lifelong fierce spiritual battle against sin and against temptation and against the world and against his own flesh. That confession, I'm purged from my own sins. I have heard God speak to me. That was not the beginning, that was an end for him. He had arrived, and there he stayed. And on that he rested. And the result of that is all his hearing of the knowledge of the Lord produces no fruit in him. He gives sure evidence by that. That he doesn't hear in the preaching the calling of God because he's barren in it. And the gifts and calling of God never leave God's people barren and unfruitful. And so he says, rather, brethren, rather than that lazy, barren, unfruitful hearing of the word. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You make your election sure by making sure of your calling. That you hear God. And that you give evidence. You give evidence, you and me, in our life that we've heard Him. He explains that in the context, you know. You hear a sermon. That you give evidence that in that sermon you didn't hear anything but God. I heard God speak to me. You give evidence of that. That's what he means when he talks about in the context. That with a holy zeal for the glory of the God that called us, and with profound thankfulness for the salvation that He has bestowed upon us, that we give all diligence to add to our faith virtue and virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. There's the fruit. When you and I hear a sermon, and that's not the fruit, but the fruit rather is the barren and unfruitful life that's unchanged. We didn't hear God. Now, I grant you, there may be two reasons. Maybe the miserable preacher didn't preach God. Then you can't hear God. If he doesn't preach the gospel, you'll never hear God. And under that preaching, it's all you ever will be, and I will be, is barren and unfruitful. But when you hear God, that's a life-changing experience. You cannot go away from that unmoved. So give diligence to that. To add to your faith those things. And if you do these things, and he's talking about from when he began to talk about giving diligence. Give diligence to add to your faith, virtue, and etc. And then he says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. All of those things, if you do these things, if you make this, he's saying, the serious consideration of your life, if you make this the most important thing in your life, if you pay the closest attention to this, if this is what you strive after and endeavor for and give all your attention to, you'll never fall. You won't. Diligence is the way of assurance. Diligence doesn't obtain you assurance. Don't ever think that. But diligence is the way. Very much is. Assurance isn't obtained by diligence because assurance is the gift of God. Assurance is the fruit of election and the fruit of God's calling. And the way of it, the way of assurance, is the way of diligence. These three belong together. And these three can never be separated. If you lose one of them, you lose them all. Election, calling, diligence. Giving diligence, you'll never fall. And you understand what he's talking about there is not falling away from salvation or falling away from God or falling away from Jesus Christ or falling into hell. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about falling into a deep and melancholy state where you and I would forget. We would forget that we're purged from our old sins, that God loved us. We wouldn't know that. And our whole life would be turned upside down and be like a ship on a rolling sea, and we'd have no stability, and our hearts would be full of fear and sorrow and anguish. We wouldn't behold the smiling face of God anymore. We would lose the sense of His favor. Peter knew about that. In his pride, he boasted, "Though all men deny thee, I will never deny thee." And Jesus said to him, "Peter, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Satan has desired you to sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And he went out, says the Bible, and he wept bitterly. That's a bitter experience for the child of God. Bitter as death. I can't imagine a worse state for a child of God to be in than not to know that the Almighty God loves him. Give diligence, therefore. Give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for our election and our calling and the assurance of them that we can hear thee speak to us. And Lord, move us by thy almighty grace to give diligence. Diligence to make our calling and election sure this day and all the days that we remain in the tabernacle of this flesh. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.
We pray that you were edified by the preaching of the gospel today. Please join us for worship if you are ever in the area. For more information about our church, beliefs, or worship times, please visit our website at prccrete.org. Thank you.